You know, this last week, I suppose I've been reminiscing. It's not really something I very often do, but this last week, yeah, I have a bit. I was looking, it's approximately 30 years, slightly over 30 years, since I first stood in this perch up here and spoke to you all in this church. I came at home, I came across a New Testament that had been given to me by the then Bishop of Kensington, and it's dated the 7th of March 2000. And it says, you know, congratulations on becoming a reader at that time. So 20 years ago, pretty much, I was a reader in this church. Somewhere along the line, and I don't actually know when it happened, I became a licensed lay minister. And it was a painless transition, in fact. I didn't know about it at all until I got a certificate saying I was one. Probably because I didn't go to the licensing in St Paul's and they just sent it to me in the post, which was a little bit of an anticlimax. But also this last week, or a week, just over a week ago, my stepmother died, or her funeral took place. She died in January. My father remarried late in life, in his mid-70s. So I got a stepmother, actually, when I think I was in my 50s at the time, late 40s probably. And my father died a long time ago, but she was a very active lady, lived a wonderful, full life, but sadly died in January, in her early 90s. So not a mourning, but a celebration at the same time. But when I went to that funeral, and there were lots of people there, they had a slideshow going back, actually, to her wedding and her first marriage and all this sort of thing. And there was me on the slideshow and my children. And I was looking at it and thinking, who are all those young people that there? Because it was me 30 years ago. And I was a little bit slimmer and a bit more hair, and it was slightly different colour. It was a bit of a shock, really, to see how time had, I suppose, raced by for those years. It seems like only yesterday, but actually it was a chunk of my life ago that happened. Time does fly. Well, as we start today, let me just pray for us, and let me pray for myself here. Heavenly Father, please help me to talk about your Bible properly today. Please speak to us speak to us from the very depths into the very depths of our being. And help us to obey you today, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the Bible, every so often you come across what I call a summary passage. A passage which sums up what's going on. It's interesting. Someone once asked me, in this very building here, could I sum up how to become a Christian in 3 minutes? And actually, that's a great question. You know, if you are any sort of minister, that's the sort of question you want to hear someone ask you. Could you tell me how to become a Christian in 3 minutes? Great. I thought, oh, yeah, sounds good. And I said something like, yeah, I'm sure I can give that a good go. And he replied then, well, why do you normally take 33 minutes to talk about it then? Yeah, another good question. Well, this bit of the Bible we just heard, it is one of those summary passages. And really, if you get your brain round, your head round these three verses we read, you pretty much know what the Bible's all about and what I'm on about this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, that verse, when I hear it, and I've heard it many times, always slightly surprises me. It surprises me that God loves the world. I mean, I wonder, do you find the world lovable? I suppose it depends which bit of the world you're looking at. That funeral I went to, it was in Dorset, and it was a lovely bit of the countryside, and it was a warm day. It was, well, relatively warm day. It was sunny, though. It was dry, and you could see down the Dorset countryside to the sea beyond it. It looked beautiful. And you can see how you could love that sort of view, that bit of the world. But at the same time, in this last week, I was reading about a soldier in Thailand who'd gone amok and shot 20 people. You can't love that, can you? Or the coronavirus, where the deaths are now exceeding the SARS virus. A couple of thousand people have died. Or Syria, with children and women and people fleeing for their lives. Or the environmental disaster that we're seeing all around us. They don't seem very lovable. But look at what our verse says. It says, so loved the world. It doesn't say God loved the nice bits of the world, the attractive bits of the world, or that God loved the nice people in the world. It doesn't say God loves the good people in the world. It very simply says God loved the world. And really, that is amazing. It's just amazing to me. When I look at the people I meet, those people out there, the man who was driving down the road splashing through the puddles with his car while I was walking to church. But God is a God who loves his enemies. And it's easy for me to point at others, but there's probably plenty out there pointing at me. Oh, I know I can dress up nicely on a Sunday and come up here, but, well, there's those other 6 days as well. I wonder, do you find yourselves lovable? Do you find yourself lovable? That God loves me, I think, is amazing. It's astonishing. That God loves you, it's amazing. It's astonishing. And that he loved the world in such a way that he sent his only son into the world so that we would not perish. Did you see that in our reading? Well, one of the things I like about the Bible is that it simply tells us the truth. It is possible to perish. It is possible to meet Jesus' judgment and to hear him say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. But God doesn't have that in mind for you. He loves you. He wants to rescue you. He sent his son into the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, I think when you get to my point in life, that eternal life actually sounds quite an attractive idea. It may seem slightly odd that I've called today's talk a fresh start. I could have called it making the most of the rest of my life or your life. I'm in my 70s now, and I found out this week, by coincidence, I found out this week from the Office of National Statistics that the average age for men in this country is 79. And I thought, well, that's a little bit sobering. I've got 7 years left. At least on average, I've got 7 years left. And I've got to make the most of those 7 years. And part of the problem is as you get older, you slow down a bit. You keep forgetting things. You know, life does have its various stages. Adult life has various stages. I can remember when Marion and I first got married, life seemed to be full of parties, full of friends. We were going to other people's weddings. Our friends were getting married. And then we went on a bit and we were going to children's parties. There were loads of them. And then we were going to children's weddings and celebrating ruby weddings and golden weddings ourselves. And now I seem to be going to funerals. That's when I meet my family. So it's nice to know that you shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's good to know that you can know that you will not perish at the end of this age. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever trusts in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, if that's not enough, look what it says in verse 17. Verse 17 is really sort of the reverse. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. How? Well, when Jesus died on that cross, he took the punishment that I deserved, my sins deserved. He took the punishment that yours deserved. And that terrible cry from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? When the Bible says that, Jesus, the Son of God, who was without sin, took upon himself the punishment for the sin of the whole world, so that you and I can be freely forgiven, that is the size of God's love. It's there to stop us perishing. It's not a sort of sentimental love, a sort of lovey-dovey sort of thing. God says, I can see the problem. I can see your problem. I can see your plight. And I've sent my Son into the world to rescue you from just that. God didn't send Jesus, his Son, into the world to condemn it. So if some people are condemned, then whose fault is that? You know, a few years ago, I was quite unwell. At the time, I'd retired and I did some consultancy work. I was working actually in Norway, and I sort of became a jet-setting commuter, I felt. I used to fly to Norway on a Monday every other week and work 4 or 5 days in Norway and then fly back again, and quite fun and very busy. And then one time I was back in the UK, and I was going to go to the dentist, and I went upstairs to clean my teeth, and I collapsed. I mean, literally, fell to the floor, collapsed. And Marion, was a bit concerned about this and helped me onto the bed. And I can remember saying at the time, I'm fine, don't worry, I'm fine. But I wasn't, of course. I needed help. And she phoned the doctor, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, gosh, I'm going to call an ambulance for you. And the ambulance came, and the ambulance driver said, don't worry about it, but we're going to use the blue lights and the sirens to take you to hospital. And when I got to hospital, these films where people run out the doors and meet you? They did to me. And then they took me into something called Resus. And I thought, this might be a bit more serious than I thought. And it was. I didn't realise it, but somehow in Norway I got pneumonia, and pneumonia had caused fluid around my heart, and the fluid around my heart had caused me to have a blood clot, and the blood clot had gone to my brain. And this was apparently really a serious thing, and it was because of that treatment and the speed of that treatment that actually I made a full recovery. I needed help. And can you think of anything more stupid than saying, don't worry, I'm fine? Because that's what I actually said to them. I needed help. But I was saying, I'm all right. Can you think of saying to God, I'm all right. I didn't need you to send your Son to die for me. Actually, if anyone says that, I don't think God's going to be very impressed with that. I think, in a way, he'd be pretty mad about that. If people ignored the death of his Son, who'd come so that he could save them, well, verse 18 makes that absolutely clear. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It all depends on who you put your trust, on whom you put your trust. Who are you trusting for eternity? A while ago, I heard a really clever statement. I spend quite a lot of time trying to think of clever statements, but actually when I find them, it's normally someone else's that I've read. This is a really clever statement. Here is a quick way to see where your faith is actually focused, in whom your faith is focused. If you were to die today, and God was to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? And you say, because, and the next thing, whatever comes next, will show where you are putting your faith. Clever, isn't it? Think about it for a moment. If you were to die today and you find yourself at those pearly gates before the Christ, the seat of judgment, he'd say, why should I let you into heaven? And you say something like, well, I've lived a decent life. Then actually what you're saying is, I'm trusting myself. I'm trusting in myself. If you say, I went regularly, every Sunday I've been going to All Saints Church in Laleham. Well, that's actually what you're trusting. On the other hand, I'll say, because Jesus died for me. That's where my trust is. I've actually given up, I think quite sensibly, I've given up on trusting myself. I've abandoned the idea that I can make it right before God by any other way except through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now you can... Well, you will have faith in something or somebody. That's certain. What's your answer to that question? If you died today and God says, why should I let you in? If your faith is focused on yourself or on anything other than Jesus, today is the day actually to focus back on Jesus. To say, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into the world for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Today's the day to trust your life into his hands. You know, that would be a good prayer to pray if you're at all uncertain. Let me just run that past you again and just try and do it a bit better. So you've got time to think about it. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into the world for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking the punishment that I deserved. Will you please forgive me? I'm trusting my life into your hands. Make me yours. Have you done that before? Today would be a good day to do it. To walk out of this building actually knowing that we are right for eternity. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, I'm going to finish actually by praying that prayer. I know it won't be appropriate for everyone here. But maybe there are people who can say, it's me. That is me today. And I'm going to pray that prayer, and I'm going to pray it sentence by sentence, and then I'm going to stop. If it's a good prayer for you, why don't you just echo it in your head? And then it'll be yours as well as mine. So let's just pray together for a moment. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking the punishment my sin deserved. Please forgive me. And I entrust my life into your keeping. Amen.